there's a whole bunch of things that go into a medical practice that, once again, when these businesses are getting set up or during their lifespan, either need to be bought new or need to be replaced or upgraded. When we talk about dental, there's even like some subcategories there that are super interesting around like making things like dentures and mouth guards. And there's specialist 3D printer machines involved that are just for dental. These are all very, very interesting things that I never knew existed. And yet it's a massive market, particularly in the US.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. So you're ready to start dropshipping, but you don't quite know what you're going to sell. Today's episode is for you. We're going to look at seven overlooked dropshipping niches to capitalize on in 2025. In fact, I might actually start a business in one of these myself.
Yeah, I'm excited to do this. We haven't done this before, but in this episode, we're running off the back. Ben and I have got 20 plus years of continuous high ticket dropshipping experience. We've literally seen thousands of niche ideas and product ideas and categories of products that you could sell in a dropshipping business. We've seen what works. We've seen what doesn't, and we're going to share with you today some ideas that are a little bit different to what most people talk about. I've seen a lot of other people do these kind of videos. Most of them are kind of terrible, and it kind of just feels like people spit out some ideas just so that you'll watch. I've heard gurus regurgitate terrible ideas like kitchen appliances. You should go and sell kitchen appliances. That's a terrible idea. Or sell e-bikes. I've seen this still keeps coming up. It's a terrible niche. What we're going to do today is give you the real deal on some things that I almost guarantee you, you will never have thought about selling online. We've done the research though. We see the opportunity. And like Ben says, it's kind of hard to share some of these things because I kind of want to go and do them myself.
First, let's clear the air here. We're not talking about finding the next hot product for you to go sell from AliExpress, running Facebook ads, hopping in front of somebody and saying, look at these dog eyelashes. Your dog must have them, or some sweater or whatever it is. We're not here to sell trinkets. I've ordered some of them before. Here's one of them right here. They're garbage when they show up. We don't want to sell that stuff, let alone there's just the numbers don't work. So if you probably heard us say this before, if you sell a $30 product and you want to do 30,000 in sales, you need to do 1,000 sales. Imagine selling 1,000 of these, all shipping from China in a heavily taped box, showing up 30 days later just to disappoint your customer. Do you think that's going to end up well for you? No, like that's not a sustainable business. You're going to sell products that don't work. No one's going to recommend you, and you're quickly going to have to turn and burn the business, let alone on that $30, maybe you made 10. Best case scenario, you made 10 and you need to run Facebook ads. In order to make that same profit selling a high ticket item that costs $3,000, you need to make 10 sales. So think about what your team looks like when you do 1,000 sales a month. Think about what your returns look like, your customer service, those emails when the product doesn't show up for 30 days or when it shows up and it's a piece of shit. That's probably not going to work out super well for you as compared to selling a $3,000 product or $5,000 product from a brand that people have definitely heard of in a space that they're already looking for these products. They're already looking for these brands for these products. So keep that in mind today as we walk through this. Really think through, I do see a lot of this stuff around me all of the time. I didn't even think about selling it. I think that was the epiphany I had a long time ago. John was like, once I got into the mindset of looking for high ticket products, they're everywhere, like literally everywhere. We've seen a ton of ideas, a lot of them that are the similar and not the greatest ideas, but a lot of them are super unique. I would have never thought of. One of my favorites is like commercial trash cans. Who would have thunk of commercial trash cans? I have no idea. So I think today you're likely going to hear some things. Maybe you've heard before, maybe you haven't heard before, but I hope they open your mind to what's possible when you shift to high ticket dropshipping and not thinking about the next hot product.
And so when we talk about high ticket dropshipping, I think, and one of the first big questions, you know, you want to start a high ticket dropshipping business, you're going to think about what product should I sell? This is one of the first big questions you really got to answer. And a lot of people can get hung up here. And I think we definitely think about this, like how to go about working out what products you're going to sell in a little bit of a different way to a lot of other people. So a lot of other people will try and get you to go down the path of thinking of individual products. and go and look for individual products that are high ticket and then just sell them. We think about it a little bit different. So your niche is not the products that you sell per se. Your niche is the customer. So the person that you're going to sell them to. And what is the thing that they do with them? What is their, it might be an interest. It might be a hobby. It might be a business. It might be some sort of other passion project they have in their life. You want to think of that person first and the thing that they do, and that's your niche. And then look at, okay, so for somebody who does that thing, what are all of the products they need to sell, they need to use, they need to buy, or they're going to buy over time to do that thing, right? And when you come at it that way, it's much easier to think of, to come up with a business that sells multiple different products. It's a stronger business. You're actually solving people's problems. You're helping them to achieve things that they want to do. Your marketing becomes simpler. And so you just build a better product, a better business. Whereas where you think of it like, let's just find the specific, one specific product to sell, you're then automatically just locked into that one product and you build a really limited business. So in saying that, we've come up with a list of seven ideas here that we love for 2025. And these are kind of going to be in the business to business space. So this is where we see a massively underserved potential for dropshipping and high ticket dropshipping is by helping businesses connect with products that they need to carry out their business. And we love business to business. We've got some stores in this sort of space as well because there's less competition right now. There's higher average order values because businesses spend a lot more money on individual things than retail customers do. And usually the business version of a product is bigger, it's better, it's more expensive, which means more profit in your pocket. And there's more potential for repeat business in the B2B space because businesses don't just buy one thing and that's it. They buy the same thing over and over and over and over again. They wear things out much quicker because they use them at a higher level. And so having repeat business, once again, means more profit for you, the business owner. So I'm excited. Every time we talk about business stuff, I get super excited. Let's dive into this list here, Ben. I know the first one on here is one that's close to your heart. I think you originally brought this one to my attention, actually, and we dove into it and really loved it.
Yeah, we've done some old podcasts, but a little less polished than what you're watching now, where we did good niche, bad niche. I believe we talked about this one, and it's one I still deeply like. It's vending machines. Where I think this is actually hard, based on what we just talked about, John, is who's the who. There's going to be multiple who's here when it comes to vending machines. Now I know when you're watching this, you're like, well, I don't want to go sell, Pepsi machines or whatever, or those, the branded ones. Well, maybe you do, first off. But these come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. We didn't discover that until we went down the rabbit hole on this, that, like, picture this. Okay, you're working in a big warehouse and there are specialized tools that you need to use. And so they have vending machines for these specialized tools where an employee can walk up with their badge, scan their badge, they get the tool out of the vending machine, then they have to put it back, right? At the end of the day, they scan it back in and put it back in there. I would have never even thought of some of this. And I think that'll be a common theme of where we go down this list today of just like, just your mind is blown on the amount of possibilities that exist. And B2B just opens up so many more pathways because who would have even known about these commercial vending machines unless you worked in a building where this existed? This would probably never have come across your radar. And so I love vending machines because I think there's just so many different who's to serve. There's the B2B who to serve there. There's the entrepreneur to serve there who wants to start up their own route. There's plenty of people on X, on Twitter, whatever you want to call it, that are talking about, building a business this way, probably on YouTube as well. There's even more. There's collectors who want to have different types of collecting these vending machines. You can go down many, many rabbit holes that are like adjacent to vending machines that turn into cash machines and turn into change machines. There's a lot here to like. This is the one. If I'm tipping my hand here, this is the one that I've been really sitting on for a while. We dabbled in a partnership on this and it never came to fruition. And man, I still love this niche, if I'm honest with you.
Yep. So there you go. Number one is vending machines for 2025. Number two, moving on down the list, hair and beauty salons. And I think this could even be other types of salons as well. There are other types of cosmetic beauty, tanning, all sorts of things in here. So this is, once again, you're serving people who run a business, mostly small businesses, some chain businesses, and they run some sort of salon involved in hair and beauty or cosmetics. They're going to have the big chairs that people sit in. There's a whole range of, there's going to be sinks and wash tubs and other machines that are involved in, you know, sort of cosmetic treatments that these businesses need to buy in order to run their business, both for new businesses who are just starting up and they might be looking to buy like three or four chairs at one time, or it's going to be existing businesses who just need to, over time, replace their equipment, or new equipment comes out that's even better and they want to upgrade to that. And so, once again, I love sort of smaller businesses, because smaller businesses often buy things like retail customers do. Like when they need to buy something, they go to Google, they search for like, where can I get a new, salon chair? They might be looking for specific brands of chair or the other equipment. And so that fits right with the type of marketing we do for high ticket dropshipping businesses, where we're primarily serving, we're doing most of our marketing on search engines, whether it's ads or organic traffic. So I like this one because I can see a massive bit of potential here for doing like packages for like people starting a salon. Like, we're going to give you four or five or six or seven products together, and we're going to build a discount into that. It's kind of like start your business kind of bundle. There's a lot of stuff here that I really like. And this has been an idea that I've been aware of for like many, many years. And I've seen one or two people do this before and actually get a good result from it, and build a decent business. But I looked at it again in coming up with this list and saw that it doesn't really look that different to the way it did years ago, last time I looked at it. Like, it doesn't look like competition hasn't increased there. There's not that many more people doing it. And so it still, to me, is a good opportunity for 2025.
I think pro tip here would be go deep, not wide. So it'd be very easy to try to sell everything to hair and beauty and nail and just everything, right? Because you want to get more and more products. Where I think if you really niche down into picking one of those and serve the shit out of them, you're going to stumble into products that you didn't even think of, such as lighting and different aesthetics that would happen inside of a nail salon that maybe doesn't happen inside of a hair salon or doesn't happen inside of a barber. I think separating these out and narrowing these down, like I too have been interested in this one, John. I'm a domain hoarder. I think I actually own a domain in one of these spaces. This one has intrigued me for a while as well.
All right, number three on the list, niche for 2025. Once again, kind of along the same lines, there could be some like deep potential here, but it's medical/dental practices. So if you go and look at what are all the products that somebody setting up a dental practice would need to buy, the list is long, from all of the different equipment that they have in the actual room where the dentist is working, through to the chairs that people sit on. But even outside of that, if you go into like the waiting room, you know, you're going to have furniture in there. You're going to have the desks and things that the receptionists sit behind. Like, there's a whole bunch of things that go into a medical practice that, once again, when these businesses are getting set up or during their lifespan, either need to be bought new or need to be replaced or upgraded. When we talk about dental, there's even like some subcategories there that are super interesting around like making things like dentures and mouth guards. And there's 3D printers, specialist 3D printer machines involved that are just for dental work, right? I looked at this and I was like, oh, wow, these are all very, very interesting things that I never knew existed. And yet, it's a massive market, particularly in the US. And there are other, I think, kind of more specialty kind of medical practices around different aspects of medicine or surgery or things like that, where the same setup exists.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have gone into wellness side of it, right? So think about, I go to a place where I sit in a sauna and go in a cold plunge and a float tank. But I think you can kind of break off every little piece of these into a building like that, or the different physical therapist or a physician's neck and back type of place. There's a lot of different very niche medical places that all have their own unique set of products. And also some of the same. And so I'm going to repeat here, go narrow instead of going so wide here. Like, serve one person. Like, the person who needs something for their dental front office is not also the same person who needs something for their physical therapy front office. Now, they might be the same product, but that's not the same person. And so go deep here on the human. This is something John and I preach constantly. Really think about the person behind the screen, how you can serve the shit out of them.
All right, number three was dental practices. Number four, this was a new one for me. I went down a massive rabbit hole on this one, doing the research into all of the products that are here. But my next one is laboratory equipment. So we're serving businesses, institutions, people that have a laboratory or need the sort of equipment that might be found in a laboratory, but it might not necessarily be used in a laboratory. And so here we're talking about private companies, private businesses. We're talking about educational institutions, universities, schools, and we're also talking about government organizations. So organizations like the Department of Defense, and health-related government organizations, they all buy this stuff. And we know high-ticket dropshippers who serve the Department of Defense. They sell things to the Department of Defense. So I'm going to rattle off some product categories here. I'm going to be honest. I looked at these, and I don't know what the heck they are when I started looking at them, but I really like the price point. So biological safety cabinets, you know, like you've probably seen it in a movie. Somebody's like, you know, on Outbreak or something like that. They're like working on like a virus, and it's in like a little thing, and they've got their arms in there with the rubber gloves on, and if it comes out, they're all going to die horrible deaths, right? You can sell those cabinets that they have the biological stuff in, right? Moisture analyzers. I came up with about 57 different types of analysis and analyzer machines, right? And we're talking here like, you know, $1,000 to $5,000 machines. They're like,
way back when I was thinking about starting a high ticket drop shipping business, I was binging podcasts, probably like you're doing right now. And the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you. At dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, you can see a free training where John walks you through one of our businesses and shows you what the site looks like, what the process is for setting up one of these stores, and how you can take your next steps to setting up your own high-ticket dropshipping business. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
This big, right? They like fit on a desk next to somebody. They're tiny, so shipping is amazing for these sort of things. Low-temperature freezers. I've never heard of a low temperature freezer before, but this is a thing in the laboratory space. What sort of price points do you see?
$2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. Yeah, yeah, and right. Then I click into one and did the Shopify trick, right? I got onto a site which is on Shopify and sorted their collection by best selling, and now I'm finding even more products in the I would have never thought of any of this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you just said, there's like $5,000 products that are like this that just mix stuff. That's amazing. If you can sell something for $5,000 that's in a box this big, you're winning. You're winning.
Industrial water chillers. This is a thing, especially like getting water to a particular temperature, and the water is then used in, you know, various ways. Vacuum aspirators, and which like is about pumping air and things like that, I think. Once again, I'm not a laboratory guy, so if I'm butchering this for somebody that is, apologies. And literally 100 plus other product categories that I came up with here. Like I went down a big rabbit hole with this and just kept getting more and more amazed. And I don't know anyone who's doing this right now. I'm not going to lie. I don't know anyone who's doing this right now, but I could find e-commerce sites that are already selling this stuff online. I could find brands for most of it. And so to me, I don't even think you need to do all of it. I'm sure there's a bunch of kind of sub niches here, which in and of themselves are probably big enough. But man, I really like this one. You can tell I'm excited looking at this, talking about this stuff. I got excited about that one because there was just like I've heard so many niche ideas over the years and looked at so many. When I find something new that I've never really looked into and then I go and look into it and it looks good, I'm like, whoa, this is cool. This is really cool. So number four is laboratory equipment. Number five for 2025 is engineering, the engineering space. So there are lots of different types of different categories of engineering, whether it's civil or, you know, or others. And engineers use a whole bunch of different highly specialized tools and equipment to do the things that they do. And once again, this is done by businesses. This is done by educational institutions. This is stuff that's done by government bodies as well. And once again, there is a massive list of products here, which once again, I'm going to be honest, I don't really know what they do. But I started looking at them. I started researching them. I started looking at the prices on a lot of these things. And I started going, holy crap, this looks really, really tasty to me. And once again, a lot of these products were quite small. Mm. When they're kind of pulled apart. So 3D coordinate measuring machines, digital levels and laser levels, laser scanners and trackers, things like hardness testers, testing how hard a surface is, for example. Like there is a machine that does that, or like testing how hard concrete is, maybe, things like that. Like there are machines that do all of this stuff. And once again, there are websites that sell these things already online. There are people that are buying these things online already. They're branded products. They tick all the boxes. Literally, they tick all the boxes. There was a few decent e-commerce sites already in this space, but not a lot, I got to say. Good level of competition here. And once again, lots of resell value to resell potential to the same customer. And once again, I think, now that I think about it, engineering, like as far as B2B, it's kind of an obvious one. But and yet, I don't really know anybody that's in this space and doing it well. I think, once again, like the laboratory equipment, this is kind of like a wide open opportunity at this point.
My first ever dropshipping business. I built and sold in 1 year for 1 year's pay at the Walmart distribution center. Huge win for me. It was the 3dprinterguy.com. So I actually have sold some of these products, or at least had access to some of these. The ones that's standing out to me are the laser scanners, which led me to LiDAR scanners. There's 15,000 searches a month for LiDAR scanner. The number one result is $88,000, John. That's insane. But there's a bunch that are like 3,000, 8,000, 1,500. There is a lot of these, and man, that's really interesting to me. I would say some of the things that are less electronic or less ripe for technology to lower the price would intrigue me a little bit more here, right? Technology is only going to drive price down. Like, that's the reason we stay out of consumer electronics. So I think some of these specialized tools will have a much longer lasting effect without being, you know, driven down by technology increasing quickly. But there's definitely some interesting stuff here in engineering. And I got to say, give John props here. John made this list. You're throwing me stuff that I've never seen before, buddy. And I love when that happens. This is fun.
Yeah, cool. All right, number six for 2025. This one's a super boring one. And sometimes boring is best. A lot of people will fall into the trap of looking for sexy products or the next trending product when it comes to dropshipping. That's entirely the wrong thing to do. That's not what you want to do. You want boring. You want long-lasting. You want predictable. And this one is nothing but material handling and preparation. So once again, that's a bit of a broad terminology. This could be a lot of different businesses that you could serve with this. And even it could be big businesses, small businesses. This is very wide. But I'm going to throw some different product categories at you here. Stretch wrapping machines.
Dude, I got to pause you right there. This one is blowing my mind. All right, picture this. Younger, skinnier, BK is driving, it's called a PE, right? It's like a double forklift that is motorized. You stand on it, you kind of hold the front and the back here, and you drive away.
Yeah.
I'm pulling two pallets. I'm wearing a headset that is telling me what slots to pull dog food in. And I'm stacking bags of dog food all day long. Brutal job, by the way. And then I go to one of these machines and like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh my God, it's such a no-brainer. Like this was there. We used it all the time. Tons of places would have these. 7,000, 11,000, 8,000, 122,000. That one's wild. 22,000. Holy shit. I don't know how I've never thought of this stuff, John. Like I've used this a million times.
The next one on the list is right alongside that, which probably was also in your Walmart distribution center, strapping machines. Right? You know, the plastic straps that go around a box. You get a fairly heavy box delivered. Yeah. There's machines. You just push the box through and it straps it, right? Strapping machines. Once again, eight grand, nine grand. Boring. And boring.
This 122,000 one that's sitting in here is definitely standing out. I'd like to look more into that. That's wild.
Yeah, yeah. Carton or case sealing machines. Once again, fairly similar. They seal a box and it's just all automated with tape. The boxes just push through. They get sealed, right? Big businesses use these. Small warehouse businesses use these a lot. Great prices, multiple thousands of dollars per product. And then we get into things like specialized carts, janitorial carts, commercial grade hand dollies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. And you could pair some of this stuff with like also some storage things, so like shelving, racking. I mean, there's a lot here. Maybe this would even be better called like a warehousing type niche. Once again, the products have brands. The manufacturers are known, like, which is something we look for. There's lots of complementary products here that you could sell. Super boring, right? But once again, I can't remember the last time one of our students at Dropship Breakthrough asked me to vet, like, we go through our niche verification there as part of our program. I haven't had this one come up in a long time, like a long time. And I don't think people are thinking of it. Like, to me, this would be a really simple one to go and start, to be honest. Because like I say, it's boring.
I can't believe I've never thought of it. Like I used a lot of this stuff.
I've used this stuff before. I've worked in warehouses before when I was a kid. I've used all these things as well.
I would encourage anyone listening to this, go search, do the same thing I'm doing in this other window, right? I'm in an incognito window. I typed in strapping machines. In fact, I spelled it wrong. Stapping machines. It still brought up the right product. Yeah. I clicked on one. It brought me to US packaging. What did this bring me to? US packaging and wrapping.com, which then led me down another rabbit hole, which was like, what are these products? And holy cow, why can it's wild where you can go if you just let some of these ideas spur you into more ideas. I'm getting inspired today, John. I might have multiple stores to start.
So that was number six, boring warehousing, material handling and preparation niche. Number seven, our final one on the list for this this show is, I'm calling it weather tracking and analysis. So this niche is products that, once again, this is not just business to business necessarily. People and or businesses use to know what's going on with the weather. So this can be pretty broad. And once again, there may be some sub niches here, but when I started digging into this, there's a lot of products here. So we're thinking about people who we might be talking about farmers. This is a big one for farmers or people involved in agricultural businesses. This is a big one for people who do things on boats, for example, or whether it's on rivers or out on the ocean. When you dig into this, once again, government institutions will use these things. Educational facilities will use these things. Anybody that's involved in transport might be interested in what's going on with the weather. There's a lot of different businesses that use these things. And so we're talking about things like advanced weather stations, lightning detecting sensors. That's a big one for farmers, right? Data loggers that track the data that comes through all of these systems. Weather tracking camera systems. There are actually specialized camera systems for tracking weather. Solar radiation sensors. Ultrasonic anemometers, which tracks wind. I believe that's a wind tracking sensor. Like, there is like a whole range. Once again, there's some big brands. There's some nice branded brands to work with here. And there is a whole thing just around weather tracking. There's specialty sensor suites for boats, for example, that, you know, boats that are ocean going will have. You'll see them on the bridge of a boat, on the roof sort of thing. And you can drop ship all of these products. And once again, not a lot of competition here. There's a little bit, right? Which is what we want to see. We want to see some competition, but there is not a lot of competition. And so to me, this was one I had looked at a couple of years back, come back again, had another look, and not a lot's changed. And so I think for somebody who finds that particularly like weather, there's a lot of people out there who are like kind of find it really interesting, right? I think this is a good niche for somebody. You know, maybe you're like a bit of an amateur storm chaser kind of person, or you love watching videos of like big storms and twisters on your Instagram or something like that. If that's something that you get passionate about, this could be one for you. A lot of small products as well, like all of these little sensors and things like this. They're maybe $3,000 or $4,000. They're like going to be in a box. It's like this big, you know what I mean? And once again, it's a pretty cool place to be.
I don't know if you knew this about me, John. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a meteorologist, and I used to hit the play button and the record button, which is what you had to do, kids, when you only had a tape player. And it was so old. Welcome to Fox 9 Weather. My name is Benjamin James, and today we're going to talk about, like, that's where I practice my, you know, DJ voice. And I love this stuff. I still watch Ryan Hall, y'all, has an awesome channel on YouTube. I'm sure somebody watching this is like, hell yeah, I watch Ryan Hall, y'all. He sells a lot of like mid ticket products that go with his stuff. This is the high end. This is good stuff. Like ultrasonic anemometers. I mean, I guess that's how you say that. That led me down a rabbit hole, which brought me to scientificsales.com, which showed me some of the solar radiation instruments and a bunch of other stuff on here. And like, this is a rabbit hole. If you're a weather nut, this is like screaming your name for sure.
Yeah, there is a massive flip side to this, which is the more retail side of this, which products that people have in their homes, which monitor the weather and things like that. You know, I would assume people maybe who live in tornado country, for example, you know, have a lot of this sort of stuff in the US, or people that live near the coast that might experience, you know, hurricanes or cyclones, depending on what part of the world you're in. That stuff tends to be a bit lower ticket, like mid ticket to lower ticket. And so that's not traditionally what we recommend going into, but hell, you're going to get access to all that stuff as well with some of the brands that you get access to the more expensive stuff. So you could also be selling in that space as well for a little bit of extra side money, I guess. But there is a pretty big market for that stuff too when you look at it. But once again, number seven, weather tracking and analysis. And so that's the list for 2025. Seven niches, seven product category, broad product category groups that you could go after. They're available. They're open. I've done the research. There's an opportunity. And so when you get into this, you know, I guess there's a lot of upside here. One of the things you could expect, though, is that, you know, these are kind of, at this point, the path less trodden. I think somebody's going to go out and nail all of these very soon. And they're going to make a lot of money doing so. But sometimes when you go into one of these niches that's a little bit less commonly thought of, is that when you get to the point of contacting suppliers and getting them approved to sell their products on your website, that can take a little bit more work sometimes just because they're not as used to working with online resellers or retailers, running the sort of business that you're going to set up. And that doesn't mean that they're not going to work with you. It just means that you might need to spend a little bit more time kind of getting their head around how it works and getting them more used to the idea and seeing the opportunity that's in front of them, which in an e-commerce market, which globally grows by $1 trillion every year, and is predicted to continue growing at that rate for every year to come at a minimum, the opportunity for a lot of these brands to increase their online presence by working with retailers that do what we do when we're doing high ticket dropshipping is a big opportunity for them. And so sometimes though, you just got to work a little bit to make sure they understand that, you know what I mean?
Let's be real. If you're watching this, you probably watch other videos, terrible ideas in those videos, and you've never heard these. I guarantee that, you just have to go start. You have to, like, I'm too old for this, but go fuck around and find out. Like, you have to go put up a store and just do this. And I guarantee some of these are going to be raw, like John mentioned. You might have to have some education involved here, but there's opportunity in all of these things. These are things that John and I are genuinely excited about. So I'd encourage you to get started. So take our free training, dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. John will walk you through the exact steps where you can find your own niche ideas, or you can jump on one of these ideas to get started. He'll show you what a real store looks like inside of that training. And we'd love to show you the path of you know, the 20 years experience John and I have and help you avoid some of those potholes along the way. Dropshipbreakthrough.com/go.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.